Hello, and welcome to Hacker Public Radio. This is Charles in New Jersey, and I'm back with another series on practical math. Today's show is going to focus on using and converting between units of distance and area. I'm going to start with an example. Now, for absolute scales, like distances, all we need is a conversion factor and a calculator if you need one. I don't think I'll be doing any calculations that really need a calculator, but if you need one, get it out now. Okay, first, I guess I'll pose a couple of problems. Now, I know that a foot is 12 inches, so how many inches would there be in, say, 10 feet? Or, looked at the other way, how many feet might there be in 660 inches? Two different problems, I'll warn you in advance. So you can't just pick off the number that I've quoted because they are two different problems. But I chose the two problems because one's going from inches to feet, the other one's going from feet to inches. Now, it's clear that going either direction that a factor of 12 should really be involved because a foot is 12 inches. And how do I know when I'm going to either multiply or divide by 12 in the conversion? Well, let's take a look at it. Now, if I multiply 12 inches divided by 1 foot, by any quantity that's in feet, I'm multiplying, let's say it's 3 feet that I'm multiplying by that. Well, the 3 feet times 12 inches over 1 foot is equal to, well, I'll just rearrange terms, and I get 12 inches times 3 feet over 1 foot, and feet cancel up and down, so I get a unitless value of 3. So then I can say 12 inches times 3 is 12 times 3 inches, and I get 36 inches, which I know is 3 feet because I've used a yardstick. I know that 3 feet is a yard, and it's also 36 inches. So that accords with what we already know, it accords with intuition, and it uses very simple techniques like multiplying by 1 in a way that the unwanted thing cancels out, leaving you with the quantity, the units, that you want. So let's use this in the problems that we've already talked about. So let's say that I want to convert from feet to inches, and I want to go back to my problem, how many inches in 10 feet? Well, 10 feet is equal to 10 feet times 1, which is equal to 10 feet times 12 inches over 1 foot, which we know to be 1 because we've just done that, and that is 10 feet divided by 1 foot times 12 inches. Now, feet cancel. I get a unitless number 10. So I can say that 12 inches times 10 is the same thing as 12 times 10 inches, and that's 120 inches. It's all very systematic. I start with the units I have. I multiply by a conversion factor, which has the units I want upstairs, the units I want to get rid of downstairs. I get cancellation, and I'm left with a multiplication problem that's all in the unit that I want. Very cool. So let's solve the second example. I wanted to convert 660 inches to feet. So I start with 660 inches, which is equal to 660 inches times 1. I multiply that by the fraction, 1 foot divided by 12 inches, because I'm cleverly setting myself up to be able to cancel inches with inches and be left with feet. That's why I put feet on top, that's the one I want at the end, inches on the bottom, that's the one I want to cancel, and I think I'm going to get the right answer when I just multiply through the numbers and cancel the units. And that's exactly what happens. Let me rearrange terms. This whole thing on the second step, putting in the conversion factor, can be rearranged so that I've got the original number, 660 inches. I was multiplying by 1 foot over 12 inches, so I can put that 12 inches directly under the 660 inches. And then all I'm left with is I'm multiplying by 1 foot. Oh, that looks good, because it's clear when I've got inches over inches that those cancel and I get a unitless number that's 660 divided by 12. And that ratio, that answer, 660 by divided by 12, which is 55, is now multiplied by 1 foot. So it's clear that that 55 times 1 foot is 55 feet. And I feel pretty confident that that's probably the answer. If I did the division of those two numbers correctly, at least I know I'm in feet. So this gives you a real sense of confidence, which you're going to need because sometimes you don't have direct conversion factors. and you have to actually combine sets of factors. You may have to take one conversion step using one identity, a second one using a second conversion factor, maybe even a third conversion factor. But if you do this step by step by step, aiming for conversion factors that cancel out units you don't want and put in units you do to go to the next step, you will zero in on the right answer in the proper units. And if you carry the units along with it, you're much more likely to get the right answer, or at least to have done the right process so that you can go back over your arithmetic and make sure that it wasn't some silly mistake that you made along the way, you know, like calling 9 times 6 56 instead of 54. That kind of mistake you can fix because you can see how you did it. Okay, great. So I just have to check some arithmetic. That's much easier than determining at each step, do I divide or do I multiply? Because that gives you two choices to make on every conversion factor you use. If you had to use 4 of them, then you've got 16 combinations to try. You don't want to go down that road. Make your life easier, carry the units, and you'll see that you can convert between units of distance, and we're going to get into area in just a minute. And you can do this with confidence. So it's great. So now we're going to go to the next segment. We're going to do conversions using compound conversion factors. And that's just, I don't have a factor that goes directly from A to B, so I have to go, or A to Z, so I go A to B, B to C, C to D, and so on until I get to the unit I want. Great. Or you can just run the units program in Bash and be done with it. Okay, so suppose I want to find the number of inches in a furlong, which is probably quite a lot, or the number of acres or hectares in a square mile. Hectare is the pronunciation I learned for hectare, which is 100 acres or 10,000 square meters in the metric system. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So since my almanac is poor and doesn't carry direct conversion factors for either one of these, I'm going to start with what I have, which is a bunch of these separate identities, and I'm going to work my way through it. Now I know by definition that a furlong is 10 chains, equal to 10 chains. I've actually introduced that up above. You can rewind or look at the show notes to see that I've actually given you that identity before. Now, a chain is 4 rods. So if I want to go stepwise from chains to, what, inches, and I have number of rods in a chain, then if I multiply 10 chains by the quantity, or the ratio of quantities, I should say, 4 rods divided by 1 chain, and that's equal to 1, then I'll now have an answer that's not in chains, but it'll be in rods. Okay, but I want inches. Well, I don't have rods to inches, but I have rods to feet. I know that a rod is 16.5 feet. But multiplying by that is going to give me something in square rods per foot. Not helpful. But if I multiply the answer I've got so far that's in rods by the ratio 16.5 feet per rod, then the rods will cancel and I'll end up in feet. Excellent. So now I'm in feet, and I just need to convert feet to inches. So if I've got feet, and I multiply by 1, the ratio of 12 inches per 1 foot, then feet upstairs and downstairs cancel. I have a unitless 1 down below, and I multiply my quantity by 12 inches, and I am good. That gives me my answer. So if you look at the show notes, you can see this drawn out in full detail. So a furlong is 10 chains times 4 rods per chain. Well, chains cancel, so that's 40 rods. Okay, 40 rods times 16.5 feet per rod. Rods cancel, so I get 40 times 16.5 feet. Well, that's same thing as 20 times 33 feet, or 660 feet. Okay, but that's still in feet. I want inches. All right. Well, 660 feet times 12 inches per foot. Feet cancel. That's 660 times 12, which is 660 times 10, plus 660 times 2. I had 660 times 10, which is 6,600, and 660 times 2 is 1,320, so I've got 7,920 inches. And if I look at my show notes, peeking at the answer, that's exactly what I have. Very cool. And if you unwind all that by dividing by 12, or better yet, multiplying by 1 foot over 12 inches, and 1 rod over 16.5 feet, and 1 chain over 4 rods, you'll get back to 10 chains, or 1 furlong. Excellent. It all works. So now let's go for a leap. We're going to do an area conversion. Very intimidating. Let's say we're looking for the number of acres in a square mile, which is equal to 1 mile squared, or 1 mile times 1 mile in this kind of equation. It's as if 1 mile is included as a factor twice. So don't be too intimidated by the square mile thing. Now, area means that we're dealing in two dimensions. So if we ever end up with a unit of distance that's by itself, when we started with an area, we are probably wrong. Keep an eye out for that. So 1 square mile is how many acres? 1 square mile equals a square mile times 1. If you remember correctly, an acre is equal to 10 square chains, or 10 chains squared, or 10 chain times chain. So if I'm going to multiply by anything, I'm probably going to aim for something that gives me acres to chain by chain. But acres and chains don't work with miles. So I can't go directly. Well, what do I have that relates chains and miles? Well, a furlong is 1/8 of a mile. So I want to have a conversion factor that converts miles to furlongs and gets rid of the miles on top in the numerator of the fraction and puts furlongs up above. And since I have square miles, I have to do this twice. So before we get too involved, let's go from miles to square furlongs. And I promise you we'll get to the answer. So 1 square mile is a square mile times 8 furlongs per 1 mile times 8 furlongs times 1 mile. That cancels both of the 1 mile quantities in the 1 square mile that I started with and gives me furlongs squared. And I promise this is going somewhere. So 1 square mile times 8 furlongs per mile times 8 furlongs per mile is 8 times 8 times furlong times furlong, or 64 square furlongs. Okay, what do I do now? Well, a furlong is 10 chains. That's a definition or a conversion factor. So I can multiply 64 square furlongs by a conversion factor of what? 64 square furlongs times 10 chains per furlong times 10 chains per furlong gives me square chains as my unit, and furlong and furlong in the denominator cancel the furlong and furlong in the numerator. So I end up with 6,400 square chains. Okay, but now I'm in square chains. Well, fortunately, in the definition of an acre, I did an extra little step that told me that 1 acre is equal to 10 square chains. So I can multiply 6,400 square chains times 1 acre, ooh, that's what I want, divided by 10 square chains. The square chains cancel, and I end up with 6,400 divided by 10, or 640 acres equals 1 square mile. If you can handle those two calculations, you're pretty good with compound conversion factors. Once you practice this enough, how to keep all this straight and use your units in the calculation, don't ever let go of labeling your units, because if you get into electrical units where you start equating voltage with current, if you make a mistake, you'll want to know that you're doing that. And if you intended to do that, you're wrong. If you didn't intend to do that, you've made a mistake that you need to correct. And actually, if you've done everything correctly on the arithmetic, you may actually be able to unwind a conversion factor or two and get back to the right answer. And that will be something that you can thank me for later. So practice carrying units through your unit conversions. So start with your units on the left-hand side, thing that you want to convert. Multiply by conversion factors to take away the units you don't want and give you a step toward the units you want. And keep working until you get into the right units And if you've done the arithmetic and cancellations properly, you'll have the right answer. It helps to write it down. Now it's time for segment 3. Hey, you ready to try metric? The U.S. listeners are going to be at a disadvantage now, because the metric system, except in certain circles, never really caught on here. Maybe in medicine or in chemistry class. And that's true even though most of the English-speaking world has already adopted it, even for things like speed limits and temperatures. Now, if you're thinking of units that are entirely within the metric system, the units conversion's pretty easy because everything's in powers of 10. But even so, it's still a good idea to carry along the units when you're doing calculations, because even though you just have to move the decimal point, really, you have to move it in the right direction. So you might as well carry along the units even when you're doing calculations in metric, because it'll tell you exactly what to do next. You'll know whether you're going to multiply or divide. Now, before I start playing around with unit conversions, let's get a sense of the metric system and its basic units and some relationships with the English system. And I'm not going to go with the teeny tiny measurements. I'm just going to go with the ones we can kind of see with the naked eye and relate to in our daily lives. I guess for the basics, I'm going to start small and say that I'm going to use the centimeter as the basic unit of distance. I could have chosen the meter. It really doesn't matter. Distances are arbitrary. As long as you always use the system to convert from one unit to another, it really doesn't matter which one you call your basic unit. As long as you've defined your conversions correctly, you'll always stay in good shape. Okay, now the English and metric systems have moved toward each other so that conversions are a little bit easier than they used to be. I won't get into who moved, but now the conversion from 1 inch to a certain number of centimeters is exact. And that conversion factor is 1 inch equals 2.54 centimeters exactly. I don't know why 2.54. To do anything any different, like making it 2.5, would probably be too much of a move, given that there are space programs using both types of units. And to make too much of a change would probably create too much disruption, because you're talking about vast distances, and even small errors can mount up when you scale them by really, really, really large numbers. Okay, well, that's the conversion between English and metric. Now let's go to other metric units, because those conversions are easier. A meter is 100 centimeters. Actually, a centimeter is probably more often defined as 1/100th of a meter. But in my world, the centimeter is central, because it's my little pet measurement that I keep in a box, and 100 of those make a meter. Now, if I want to know what a meter is in inches, I take my previous equation, it's in the show notes, I say 1 meter is 100 centimeters, that's equal to 100 centimeters times 1, which is 100 centimeters times 1 inch divided by 2.54 centimeters. That puts centimeters in the denominator to potentially cancel with my original unit, so I'll end up in inches. So now my centimeters have canceled, and I end up with 100 unitless over 2.54 unitless times 1 inch, and that's about 39.37 inches, which is, I think, what they taught you in school. A kilometer, or kilometer, as they say in Canada, is just 1,000 meters. Pretty easy. You can convert those to inches pretty easily if you already know these two numbers that I've given you, so I won't go any further with that. Now I'll go into area. Now, I'm not sure how these are pronounced, because I've only read them, and I've heard the names of them pronounced in a couple of different ways. I'm going to say that an air, A-R-E, is 100 square meters. That's an area of a square that's 10 meters on a side. The unit of area that's used in measuring lands and in reports of forest fires or amount of arable land in a country or something like that, land under cultivation, is called a hectare, or a hectare in my neck of the woods. And that's 100 airs. 100 airs is 100 airs times 1, which is 100 airs times 100 square meters divided by 1 air from my previous identity. I know that's equal to 1. So then airs cancel. I end up with 100 unitless times 100 square meters, which is 10,000 square meters. All very cool. Now here's where we get practical. Even people in the U.S., as provincial as some people think we are, like to watch sporting events, like the Olympics, or drive cars, or something like that. For short distances, not too short, like microns or something, and not too long, like space travel, but let's say the middle distances that people run in races in the Olympics, we can probably get along with an approximation when we're converting from English to metric. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. When distances are really short, you can't really do this because there's a higher relative error from rounding off too soon. So if you're measuring a piece of wood for a project that's not of large scale, yeah, you probably want to be close. So you would probably do your conversion, let's say if it's 1 foot, especially, well, that's 1 foot is 12 inches times 1. We've just looked at conversion factor to go from inches to centimeters. So that would be 12 inches, a foot is 12 inches times 2.54 centimeters per inch. Inches cancel. So I have a unitless 12 times 2.54 centimeters, which is 30.48 centimeters. Cut carefully. Now for larger, but not too large, moderate distances, like the distances covered in track and field events or football, you can live with approximation because it gives you a chance to get a mental picture or an intuition for the comparison between units that you know and a newer set of units that aren't as familiar to you. Okay, so we've already seen that a meter is somewhere around 39.37 inches. Let's suppose, just among friends, that I call that about, 1.1 yards. Just to make a benchmark, so that a meter is now, in my approximate world, 39.6 inches. It's off a little, yeah, but my meter in this reckoning is maybe, what, a quarter of an inch too long. It's 0.23 inches. That's pretty close. Now, if I'm planning an interplanetary space mission, I'd probably be in trouble with that kind of crude approximation. But how bad really could it be for getting, like, a feel for the distances covered by athletes in the Olympic Games? You know, if I look at a 100-meter race and say it's 110 yards, I'm about 23 inches over. That's like 2 feet over 110 yards. That's not bad. It gives me a pretty good idea of how far it is and saves me a lot of fuss in doing more precise multiplications and divisions and cancellations and all that. So at 200 meters, it's 4 feet off. At a kilometer, it's 20 feet over. I mean, unless you're trying to solve a ballistics problem of shooting a cannonball a kilometer and trying to hit a small target, 20 feet over a kilometer is pretty decent. You could apply this to how many kilometers there are in a mile. How would I do that? Well, I could say, well, if a kilometer is 1,000 meters, all right, and a meter is 1.1 yards, a mile 1,760 yards, which is, it's 1.1 times 1,600. So I could call a metric mile about 1,600 meters and not be terribly far off. In fact, I think my error would be about 32 feet. That's close enough for me, over approximately a mile distance. 30 feet over a mile is pretty good. So I'm taking that. One more thing before I close. Suppose I hear about a forest fire in Quebec, and they give the acreage, I'm English-centric. They give the amount of area, land area, in hectares. Well, how do I know what that is in acres or square miles? That's a hard problem, right? As it turns out, it's not as terribly hard as you thought, because I know, for example, that a hectare is 10,000 square meters. I know that there are 640 acres in a square mile. An acre is a chain by a furlong. All right. Does that help me in any way? Well, furlong is what? That's 220 yards. Oh, but that, in my approximation, that's 200 meters. So I have 200 meters by 20, okay, by one chain, which is 20 meters in my approximation. Okay. So 20 times 200, that's 4,000 square meters in an acre. So a hectare would be about 2.5 acres. Pretty cool. I like it. So if a hectare is 2.5 acres, that means there's about 256 hectares in a square mile. And if I make that 250, that's not too far off. That's a pretty easy conversion. 250 hectares to the square mile. Wow. So if there's 1,000 hectares, that's 4 square miles. No. Yes. 1,024 among friends. But it's nice, easy conversion. I'm liking it. So what if there's 1,000,000 hectares of land under cultivation in a country? How many square miles would that be? Now I can't remember what the number was. Let's say it was 1,000,000. 1,000,000 hectares times, well, 1 over 250 square miles per hectare. So I get hectares cancel. 1,000,000 over 250 is unitless times times square miles. Oh. Well, 1,000,000 is 1,000 times 1,000. So that's 4,000 square miles. 1,000,000 hectares. Wow. That's not so hard to convert anymore. I think we've done it, Watson. So if you work with approximations and you're not too concerned about being exact, because I'm sure that people talking about 20,000 hectares being destroyed by or at risk in a forest fire, I'm betting that number's not 20,401. It's around 20,000. It could be 24,000 probably, or 16,000. So the amount you're throwing away or throwing into the pot, you're going over by making these little approximations, is probably not hurting you all that much. Because you're coming close enough, because what you want is an idea of what they're saying, so that you're not watching the TV and every minute going to Google saying, what is this many hectares in square miles? I mean, you can do that, but if you'd like to pay attention and understand what people are saying without having your phone in your face or your computer or your tablet, then get yourself some rough and ready rules with approximations, and this one's not bad at all. If you like multiplying by powers of 2, 256 is preferable to 250 for the number of hectares in a mile, but it really does help you to think about it when you can make quick and close enough approximations of what one set of units means in this other system that you do know, so you can get a much faster mental mapping of what each one, what the new system is, and eventually you can maybe even leave the old system behind as a relic from the past and use what the international community is using while you're talking with them. It might make the world a more peaceful place if we can learn to talk to each other in familiar terms, and we learn how to communicate and to translate between not only languages but units of distance. I think it'll make the world a smaller and more comfortable place where we can live together. Okay, that's it for today's show. Be back with more practical math and more units of different kinds here on Hacker Public Radio. Thanks for listening. Bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.